Hello and welcome back to another episode of Wealth and Price Podcast, a show where we encourage people to find spiritually and financial balance in their life through the abundant grace of God. On the podcast today, we have Mr. Ramel, who is the CEO of the Model Credit Institute, a commercial cleaning business, and a real estate investor. And he owns several investment properties, and he's also the author of the Unlocking the Book Code, which is sold on Amazon. And he's also a coach and mentor for aspiring real estate investors. And today we're going to talk about his journey so far as an entrepreneur and a real estate investor. So, Mr. Ramel, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, King. I appreciate the opportunity to share this space with you.
So how long, what made you get started into real estate investing?
That's a great question. So I've been, like, real estate has been something that was talked about in my household, like, since I was young. So my dad, he owned property. But he just didn't know what to do with it. He didn't know how to scale up in real estate. You know, he was just figuring it out. But I remember at 9 years old, my dad, he made me do a book report on a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. So at that point, I understood the difference between being rich and poor. And it was more so about the mindset, not your finances. And in that book, you had the rich dad who talked about, you know, investing, not saving money, figuring out ways to grow your money. And where his the poor dad, he was all about working and saving money, but the rich dad was investing in real estate. So that was really like me connecting the dots of when my dad was buying real estate and me reading that book. I always was inspired by that. But I wasn't able to put the pieces to the puzzle together until I was about 23 years old. That's when I purchased my first property, actually, you know, really doing it. But you know, it was always something that I wanted to do growing up.
That's good. You spoke about the mindset. How important is mindset before you start investing?
Mindset is everything. You know, you have to build your mindset before you build your skill set, because 80% of success is really based upon your mindset and 20% is the strategy. So when I go out and I do seminars and I talk to my team, I always say, you know, we need to focus on why, not how, because how is easy.
That's true.
We need to understand why, because as you know, in this podcast business, there's always going to be people that say, hey, I want to be on your show. Some people I don't. You're going to be learning different things, but you have a true passion for this. So because you have a true passion, you're going to be able to overcome the obstacle. So, you know, mindset is everything. If you don't have it here, you can't control yourself, your energy, and everything that you possess. There's nothing that you can accomplish in this world.
Nah, that's dope. That's definitely a bar right there.
Yes.
So I know that you have a credit and you have real estate. So how did you start off? I think, did you start off with a credit first company, then venture into real estate, or how did that go?
So I actually started out in real estate. You know, credit just came along the way because I found how important credit was during my real estate journey. So my first real estate acquisition, I didn't put none of my money up. You know, I was able to buy this property and put no money out of my pocket, leveraging credit and, you know, partners who like the deal, and because I had good credit. So from that point on, I had to go out and I said, I'm gonna put together a credit restoration company because I want other like-minded individuals like myself to be able to take advantage of having good credit and what the opportunities that you can take advantage of. So if you don't, you know, we don't come from a silver spoon, you know, we're trying to figure it out. You know, you from Queens, I'm from Brooklyn, you know, so we're trying to figure it out. So a lot of times in our community, if we don't have a bunch of money to go out and invest, we got to leverage credit, right? So credit came along the way because I understood the importance of it during my real estate journey. I learned about it. I had a coach that kind of gave me the game. And then from there, I hit the ground running.
That's good. So how important is credit?
Credit is the lifeline of your business and lifeline of your life, period. Because you need credit to go get a car, get a house, an apartment. Even when you're applying for like good jobs nowadays, they run your credit because they want to see how reliable you are as a person, how dependable you are. Even when you apply for health insurance, they run your credit because they say financial stability and health, it correlates, right? So somebody that is not financially stable, 9 times out of 10, they're not healthy because they're, you know, stressed out, depressed. They don't have access to the best foods or the best, you know, grocery stores and things like that. So now that impacts your health, you know? So when they run your credit, if you got horrible credit, they say that you're a financially responsible person. Now they're going to inflate your insurance. You got high interest. It's just a cycle. It's crazy because like I do credit restoration, and 90% of the clients that come to me, the reason why their credit scores are so low is because of medical bills.
Well,
you know, so we don't have health insurance. We can't go out and afford to pay for the type of health services we need. Now it goes on our credit. Now we can't get a job. We can't buy a house. We can't get a car. And we just stuck in at the bottom. And that's how they keep us.
Wow. So has that always been a thing where your medical bill affect your health insurance? Your medical bill affect your credit cards?
Now, like within the last 10 years, that's how it's been. Previously, decades before that, it wasn't as important. But now that companies becoming more technology advanced, companies are actually becoming more aware of how important financial stability and credit is to your overall life. Just overall, like people think that credit is just if you want to make a transaction. Yeah. Credit just determines the quality of your life, period.
That's dope. Could you explain how you leverage credit for your first investment property? How did you leverage credit?
So as I started out in real estate, because I knew I wanted to get in real estate, I pretty much started to brand myself. That was one of the biggest things that I learned from my mentor. He told me knowledge plus credibility equals influence. Mm-hmm. So which means when you have the knowledge base about a particular space, and now you build credibility because people know you as a stand-up individual. You're not running off with people money. You're not out here lying, right? So you're knowledgeable. People trust you. Now you have influence. And when you have influence, you could turn that into money. You could turn that into opportunity because people want to invest in you. People will buy from you and all of these things. So I mastered that concept and learned real estate strategies. I had good credibility because a lot of people around me, they knew what type of person I was, you know, man of integrity. And I started to build influence as a real estate professional. And I didn't have any real estate experience. I would just wear suits. I started my business. I'm handing out business cards. I had meetings with my family and my friends telling them, listen, when it comes to real estate, I'm your guy. So I just positioned myself. I seen it before anybody else did because I knew where I wanted to go, right? So to pretty much move the story along, a friend of mine, his grandmother was going through a pre-foreclosure. So a pre-foreclosure is when you own a home, you fall behind on your mortgage payments, and now the bank is in the process of foreclosing on your home, also known as taking away that property back from you, right? So he comes to me because I branded myself as the real estate professional. He says, hey, Rommel, you know, I know you're in the real estate. This was happening with my grandmother. How you think you can help us out? So I went and sat down, went to the property. I evaluated the property, and it was a two-family brownstone in Brooklyn. And you from New York, so you know how much these properties are worth. So it was a two-story brownstone in Brooklyn. I was able to start a short sale process, which means I worked with the bank and I was able to get that property under contract for $590,000. But the property was worth $1.2 million. So I literally contracted it for half price of what it was worth. Now, that was a great opportunity, but I'm straight out of college. I don't have no money. I'm like, this is a great deal. But how do I push it through? How do I execute? Now I leverage my credit. I was able to bring in a capital partner who, because the deal was very, very profitable and you know I had good credit, he was able to put up the $590,000 for me. I put no money up out of my pocket. Now the only thing is I had to give him 50% equity in the deal, which means when I bought the property and sold it, we split the profits 50-50. So he put up all the money. We fixed it up, put it back on the market, sold it for 1.2, made six figures, my first deal ever. And from that point on, you know, I kicked off my real estate journey.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So how can someone right now, I'm 23, by the way. So how can I position myself, you know, whether it's leveraging my credit to get my first property?
That's a great question. So like you're me, what? Five years ago, right? So I was in that same spot figuring out how I position myself. So the best thing I would say is all of your time, money, resources should be going into investing in yourself, right? So looking at your credit, you could go to Credit Check Total and you can get all three reports. You want to look at it, get with the credit repair specialist, you can get with me and just really look at your credit, see what's on there. If you have any collections or negative items, work on getting it removed. And what we don't know in our community, that credit repair is very simple. Like people pay a bunch of money for it because they just don't have the information, right? So one of the things that I learned when I was in college, my professor, he always told me, you want to get paid from the neck up. You don't want to get paid from the neck down. You want to get paid to, for what you know that's in here, because if you get into an accident, something happens, you get paid here, right?
Yeah.
So from a credit repair standpoint, right, a lot of times we can dispute these things just by calling up the credit bureaus, like, directly. Say, hey, you know, this is Verizon bill on my report. It's not accurate. I need to dispute it. And if you don't dispute it, I'm going to be in contact with you through my lawyers. Like, a simple conversation. And they have to dispute it. And within 30 days, if it's not verified, by law, they got to remove it. But we don't even know how to have a simple conversation with the credit bureaus. We don't understand those things. So for you, I would say, look at your credit profile. See what's on it. If you don't need repair, you may need to build it, right? So a way you can build your credit is leveraging authorized users. So what authorized users are is when you inherit the credit history from someone else's report. So for example, I have a credit card with Chase that has $20,000 on it, right? I'll call up Chase and I'll say, hey, I want to add you on as an authorized user. I'm going to give them your full name, date of birth, address, social. And within 30 days, that $20,000 credit card is now going to report on your credit and boost your score. And this is what a lot of wealthy people do for their kids. Like, when their kids is 12, 13, they add them on. And then by the time they're 18, 19, 21, they got an 800 credit score and able to go out and get a bunch of loans. So look at your credit. Continue to do what you're doing right now. Like, you know, you got your podcast going, you're branding yourself, you're networking. Like, those are the things that's going to open the doors, because like I'm on your platform right now, right?
Yeah.
But I have services that I can offer you. I have resources that I can offer you. So the same way you're putting me on your platform and I'm able to talk to your audience is the same way that I can share information with you, you know, because I know real estate credit, like, I may be able to assist you or point you in the right direction. So I always say the money is in the people you know. That's it. So if you invest in yourself, invest in people around you, that's all you need to do, and the pieces are going to actually come together for you. Simple.
No, that is dope. That's definitely dope.
Yeah.
That's dope. So are you more, kind of like on Instagram, I see that you're more of a commercial property buyer. Why is that compared to residential properties?
Yes. So just recently, over the last 12 months, I started to transition into commercial real estate. I started out in residential, but the reason why I'm heavily focused on commercial real estate at this point is because I realized that the money is in commercial real estate. So if you have one roof, right? If I have one roof, why would I want just one tenant under one roof? Because if that tenant decides to leave, or it's a pandemic like it is now and they stop paying, I'm stuck with that property still paying taxes, mortgage, maintenance. I'm stuck. I'm losing money, right? So now instead, I want to go and buy a 10-unit building or a 20-unit building. And now if I have one or two or three or four tenants that don't pay me, I still have another 15 tenants that's still paying me and paying for my expenses on the building, and it's one roof. So you rather pay taxes on one roof that has 10 people or one roof that has one person. And what I found in buying commercial real estate is actually much easier than residential. And they don't tell us this stuff, right? So with commercial real estate, the way the banks are more willing to lend you on commercial real estate than residential. With residential, they want to look at you as a person. They want to look at your W-2s. They want to look at your pay stubs. They want to look at your tax returns. They want to see 6 months bank statements. They want to look at your credit. They want to see everything under the sun. They want to draw blood from you, right? But with the commercial real estate loan, they want to look at the property. All right, how much money is this property bringing in? What are the expenses on the property? What location is this property in? You know, what type of class property is it? So it's more focused on the person, and then they look at you and it will just show that you have some income coming in. If in the event that this property went under, you can still support the mortgage. So it's flip-flop, where residential, they're looking at you and then the property, and commercial, looking at the property and then you. And that's why I promote commercial real estate now at this point over residential real estate.
No, that's dope. So so let's say for me right now, I want to get started in real estate. I recently just started with my credit card. So about 7 months in. Mm-hmm. So what will be the next step for me? You know, I read books like Rich Dad Poor Dad, How to Invest with Little Money by Brandon Turner. So what will be the next step?
For you, the next step, do you have a LLC, a business?
No, not yet.
Okay, that will be a very next step. I would say you need to do that like yesterday, right? And if you need any support, let you know, reach out to me offline and we can get it done. But the very next thing you want to do is get you an actual company, because everything that you're doing right now is part of your business, right? You can write off the internet that you're using to even host this podcast, like the laptop, like, right? You know, your shirt, you know, that's your brand, right? I mean, your sweater. Like, you want to start putting that under a business. And the reason why I say you want to do that is because this starts building up your business activity and your business credit. And once you start building up your business activity and your business credit, you now can go and apply for a $30,000 credit card, a $20,000 line of credit, or whatever the case may be. You use that money to go and buy a four family, right? So I say for you, start out in residential. For anybody starting out, residential is the more easier way to get into it because it's less money. But once you go buy a 2-4 unit, you live in one unit, you can leverage FHA, which is a first-time home buyers program, where you literally just put down 3.5%. So if a property is $200,000, you're talking about $7,000 that you put down in your pocket, but you can pull that money off a credit card from your business. So yeah, that's pretty much what I would say to you. Let's focus on getting you a company, and then let's focus on building up your company's credit profile.
Okay, okay. So with FHA, I know that FHA and conventional, which one, why do you recommend FHA over conventional?
Because FHA gives you low down payment opportunities. So you put down 3.5% with FHA. When it's conventional, you have to put down 20%. So if you're buying a $100,000 house, that's a difference of $20,000 versus $3,500. You know, you want to put the least amount of money out your pocket as possible. So that's why I say starting out, you want to do FHA. And once you build up enough money where you can do a 20% down with no problem, because when you do 20% down, yes, it's more money, but it's a faster, easier process because they're not asking for all the extra documents, you know, because your money is there. You just, it's kind of, it's much smoother and you execute more seamlessly.
No problem. So how important is networking? I know you spoke earlier about you have partners that you work with. So how important is networking?
Very, 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 very important, man. I always say relationships are more important than money. Your network is really your net worth. Because for me, I know that no matter what happens, I'm gonna always be good because I got people around me that is very, very talented. So if I went broke tomorrow, I know I could call up my boy over here who got great credit because I got the strategy. We can go and get out a loan. We can go buy this property. We're going to fix it up. We're going to flip it. I'm back in the game. I know I got this person over here that's a tax strategist. I could come in and work and partner with your company. We're going to go crazy for tax season, make $50,000 the first 3 months of the year. I'm back in the game because I have these resources, you know. So networking is very important. And as I said earlier to you, when you have the right people around you, the opportunity is going to come your way. You know, so I have somebody that's in the Airbnb business. I'm not in the Airbnb business myself, but because he's in the Airbnb business, he gave me opportunity to be a partner where I'm not literally actively doing the work, but I partner with him from a investment standpoint. And now I'm in the Airbnb business getting paid passively. And he's running the company, you know? So by having different relationships in your network, you get more knowledge. And that's more important than anything. Knowledge is truly power. Like you hear that in school, you're like, what the hell they talk about? Like, knowledge is truly power because when you know how to do something, you have that confidence, you're unstoppable.
No, that's great. So how would you say for someone to get started in terms of networking with different people?
For example, social media. Like, social media is a gift and a curse at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? Because you got so many people that be doing like bots and fake pages and hate, you know, all that stuff come with it. But if you look at the positive side of it, you literally have access to people from just from your phone. Where you're in Queens, I never met you before. Now we on Zoom together because of social media, and which is going to lead to other things now because I'm more focused on relationships. So it's not just about, you know, I'm on your podcast now, you start now. Once you blow up, I want to come back to the podcast. Like, yo, listen, I remember when, you know, we was on episode so-and-so and now here episode 500 and all this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, that's the type of stuff that I love. So I would say start with social media. If you see people, you know, DM them, comment. Most of the times people may have their email in their bio. You just send a formalized email. That's most effective. So I'm personally, I'm responsive with my DMs as much as I can be. But for like, I'm not as big as most influencers, right? So if you got a million followers and everybody DMing you, it's hard. So if you go to the email, it's much more easy, much more simple. So I would say that. Number two, you want to take advantage of any networking events. So even in this space right now, you can go on Eventbrite. Go on Eventbrite and be able to just look up real estate events. And it's a lot of them is free. Go on Zoom and just join and be a part of other people. You also could just go to your local real estate agent's broker's office. So if you're walking down your neighborhood and you see a broker, you just knock on the door, go in there, just introduce yourself, drop off your car, say, I'm looking to learn. I'm looking to shadow. I want to be around people and just do stuff for free. Like just be around people, work, learn for free. And that's going to take you far.
That's dope. That's very dope. So how important is investing in yourself?
Investing in yourself is by far the most important investment that you can make, right? So you can invest in real estate, you can invest in stocks, you can invest in entertainment, podcasts, whatever it may be. But if you don't have the investment in yourself, none of those things are going to be successful. So you have to be aligned spiritually, which is why I love this podcast, because that's the center of it. You know, you have to make sure that you are, you know, aligned spiritually, because you know, as we all know, you make plans and God laughs at them, right? Because like, you making plans, but this is really what I got mapped out for you. So you need to be aligned and then making sure that everything else comes into play as far as your knowledge, you understand and you know in yourself. That's one of the things that I'm still working on as well. Like I'm completely transparent. I think that's why like my core audience, they love me because I'm not acting like I'm some big guy out here, you know, like I'm just like everybody else. I just learned a couple little more things and I'm making a little more money, but I'm just like everybody else, right? So I'm still learning and growing in other ways. And one of the things that I've struggled with is me actually, like I love people, right? So I would just say yes to something, right? And then when I say yes, and then my schedule doesn't permit me to do it, it looks like I'm not being a man of my word, you know? So now I have to be aware of, like, I know that I'm a type of person where I want to always help people and I'm going to say yes, but now I have to control myself and say, hold on here. Let me check first. Let me look at my calendar first. Let me make sure I can actually do this. Yeah. And that's being more self-aware. That's investing in yourself, you know? Counseling, having mentors, all of those things is important. So, you know, to answer your question, I know I pretty much went around, but to answer your question, investing in yourself is the most important investment that you can make, period, you know, rather than any business venture at all.
That's dope. So what makes you buy a property versus not? Like, you can walk us through a quick deal scenario.
Yes. So I'm a real estate investor. So I like to buy off-market properties. So off-market properties mean that it's somewhat underground, right? It's not on the MLS. It's not on Zillow. It's not on realtor.com. I'm working directly with the homeowners. And the reason why I like to do that is because by the time the property gets to Zillow or realtor or the MLS, it's already marked up. The price is already there. Everybody's making their money. Everybody's piling up their fees on top of the original price. Yeah. So I want to get it at the discount price, which is wholesale price. So the way I evaluate my deals, I like to get my deals 65 cents on a dollar. So it's pretty much like if I go and buy some Jordans and they cost $100, I want to get it for $65 so I can make, you know, a $35 profit in between. That's how I evaluate houses. So I go, you know, run the comps, do the comparables, appraisal, and whatever the value is, I need to get it at 65 cents or less. If it's 65 cents or more, I don't want it. Because that's where I make my money. So that's the determining factor of how I go in and buy properties, right? So that's one way, is different ways to evaluate. That's one way. Another way is about, it's called cap rate or ROI. So return on your investment. So that's the rate in which you make your money back. So if you say, hey, King, can I borrow $50? What's going to be my first question?
Want you to give me back.
Exactly. How much you giving me back and when you giving it back.
Yeah.
That's the first two questions. So that's just the same concept you want to have when you invest in real estate. All right, I'm going to buy this house for $100,000. When am I going to get my money back and how much money am I going to make on this? Right? So that's what the ROI is. That's what your return on investment. And when you do the formulas from a rental standpoint, it's called cap rate. So what you do is you take how much your property is bringing in. So if your property is bringing in $30,000 a year and you pay $100,000 for the property, what you'll do is take the $30,000, you divide it by 100. So you take what your profit is, and you divide it by your investment. So profit divided by investment gives you return on your investment. And then once that percentage comes back, that determines what I'm going to do. So me personally, the way I like to do things, I'm like a 20% cap rate. That's pretty much like the least I want to be at, which means I want to make my money back within 4 years. And then within 4 years after that, it's just all profit.
Okay, that leaves my next question. How important is cash flow?
Listen, you got great questions. You came ready, man. You came ready. Cash flow is extremely important because in order, like for me personally, my goal is to become financially free, right? And financially free is not a dollar amount. Financially free just meaning that you have enough income coming in that outweighs your, you know, expenses that pays your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So if you're making $3-4 million a year, that may not be good enough to somebody like Diddy because he got so much things going on, you know? But you may make $100,000 a year, but not a lot of expenses. You might be financially free. So for me, it's about how could I map out the best life I want to live and how could I have other vehicles in place that's going to pay that for me every single month? And that's where real estate comes into play. It gives me cash flow every single month that's going to pay off my lifestyle expenses. But the most important piece is passively in my sleep, something I don't got to work for. So that's whether I get up and go to work or not, I'm going to get paid this amount of money every single month. And that's what cash flow is. No matter what I do, this is what I'm going to make. And that's why I love real estate, because now if I want to go out and do podcasts, like I want to go out and do speaking engagements, I want to go and do charity events, I can freely go do that because I know between the first and the fifth of the month, I got $10,000 coming in no matter what I do. That's not including any other business ventures or active, you know, business ventures that I do. So that's why cash flow is very important.
So, and what other business ventures are you in?
So, as you know, real estate, commercial cleaning, credit. Outside of that, I have a media production company. It's called 435 Films. And we're actually producing a TV series. And the TV series is about 6 African-American males from New York City that they go away to college, the first generation college students, and how they struggle to find themselves and how they struggle to stay out of trouble with their newly acquired independence. So I don't know. Did you go to college?
Yeah, I did.
What college did you go to?
Went to Mega Everest College in Brooklyn.
Okay, perfect. So you know what it's like to go to college, and then now you got to manage, you know, a whole new life. You know, you're managing a whole new life, financial stability, relationship, personal, a lot of different things. So this film is going to just highlight what those things, what the just uncovering the real life behind college. Because when people think of college, they think of like Stomp the Yard. You know, they think it always like, oh, it's a fairy tale, but that's not always the case, you know? So ultimately, the 6 individuals, they all are in the same environment, but they make different decisions that lead them down different paths, you know, and that's pretty much ultimately what it is. So I have investments in that. And then that's pretty much it outside of like the Airbnb, like I told you about. I have some other ventures that I'm looking to get into, like the car rental space. I actually have some investments in stocks, but I'm not actively in it. So like what I do is I find experts, people that's around me, that's experts in that field. And then I just park money with them and all right, you go do this. And you go do that, and then, you know, because you're the expert. I'm the expert in what I do. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert in somebody else's field, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's dope. And your hoodie. So what is Legacy of a Lifestyle means for you?
So Legacy of a Lifestyle is a brand that myself and my partner, Isaac Grace, we actually put together in 2018. Yeah, we put this together. And it was just something that organically came up. And what it truly means is legacy over lifestyle, right? So that's you. Like, what are you doing today? Like, what impact are you going to have for generations to come? Like, what am I doing every single day that's going to have an impact for my last name? So when I die, my name is going to outlive me, right? That's what's more important than me going out and just living for today. Because it's easy. Like, I make $50,000, $100,000 here, and I could go buy a fancy car, go to the club, and then that's it. I live my best life. What about my kids? What about my parents? What about my nieces, my nephews? Like, how can they live off of what I've done for generations to come? So that's what legacy is. So that's us doing the work today, and we're not focused on trying to live a certain lifestyle. It's about making sure that we are doing the work so that our last name outlives us.
That's it. Dope. So yeah. What do you see yourself in the next 5 to 10 years?
Wow, that's a great question. So my goal I have a few goals. I don't really know where I see myself, but I have a few goals. From a real estate standpoint, my goal is to reach 1,000 doors. So I want to own 1,000 doors, bringing in $50,000 a month, like net cash flow. I mean, like I said, waking up between the first and the fifth, $50,000. That's not even me working. That's just me passively, you know? So that's my goal from a real estate standpoint. And the reason why I want to do that is because I want to truly go out and educate and inspire. That's what's my passion. So I want to be able to travel to different universities and overseas and just do seminars and conferences and just empower our people and wake us up, truly give out the information, because you got to be knowledgeable of yourself. You got to have the information. So I see myself being able to do that. And then my other goal is to create a recreation center in Brooklyn, my hometown. So it's not going to be a typical recreation center where it's just sports and things. It's going to be financially based, entrepreneur based, meaning when the community come in, they pay a membership fee and they learn entrepreneurship strategies and skills. So, for example, Monopoly. Yeah, we're going to come in. We play Monopoly, we're having fun, it's a fun time, but there's a whole purpose in that. We're gonna actually break down how Monopoly is really happening in our community every single day. You know, when you land on my property, you gotta pay me. 4 green houses, 1 red hotel, that's really how you do it. So for you, starting out, you could literally, I'll give you your 5-year plan. Like, if you follow this 5-year plan, you'll be set. All you need to do is this. Once you get your credit built to a 640, or above, all you need is a 640. You get your business set up and you show some, pay stubs. You don't have to make a lot of money, but you just show that you actually have an active income. You now go get an FHA, you go get a 4-unit. It's a 4-3-2-1 strategy. So you go and purchase a 4-unit building, you live in 1 unit, and you rent out the other 3. You do that for a year. After that first year, you're now eligible to go and get the FHA program again, as long as you can show that your circumstances change. So you may have gotten a new job, you may have started a family, whatever the case may be. So now you in that you transition from a 4-unit to a 3-unit the next year, but you're now renting out the 4-unit completely. So you move out, you live a 3-unit, live in 1, rent out the 2. So now at that point you have 7 units, right?
Yeah.
And then you do that for a year, and then the next year you move out and you go into a 2-unit now, where 1 and 1. So at that point you have 4, 7, 8, 9. You have 9 units. And then the 4th year, you can go get your big house for yourself and your family. But you have all 9 units bringing you money that's going to pay for that house and then some, right?
That's
and
dope.
This is the next level, King. You take those 4 houses, right? When you buy homes, the reason why I love real estate, because of appreciation. So the value of these assets go up in time. So when you able to buy properties and you have these 4 assets, right? You can now go and get home equity lines of credit against those because of the asset. So you could get $100,000, pull it out of your property and take $400,000 and go put that as a down payment on a hotel or a 40-unit building, a 50-unit building. You just leverage the 4 houses that you got, pulled the money out, and now you got 30, 40 units. You did that in 5 years, and you set. You didn't change the direction of your family. That easy.
No, that's dope. That's definitely dope. That's really dope.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah.
That was definitely mind blowing. So let's speak a little bit about your book. Unlocking the Boss Code. So what made you write the book, Unlocking the Boss Code?
Yeah, so this right here is my first book that I actually wrote. I was inspired to write the book because that's truly how I felt when I got that six-figure check, right? When I went to the bank and I had over 200,000, and then the bankers want to sit me down and say, "Hey, Mr. New Worlds," and shake my hand. How can we help you? I've never got that type of attention or customer service at a bank ever. So I've been like, yo, I unlocked the code. I figured this out, you know? I figured out how to create money. And now I can do it time and time again because I understand the strategies. I know how to find great deals. I know how to turn it into cash. I know how to fix credit. I know how to leverage credit. I know how to get lines of credit. I know how to understand people. Like, I just feel that I learned the secrets of the wealthy. Now, I'm still in the process of implementing them as I'm building up my empire, but I feel like I've unlocked the code, right? And when I say unlocking the code, it means I failed, right? I actually tried things, I learned things. So I'm seeing how this works, how that works. Okay, that didn't work, all right, I'm gonna do this. So I wanted to package it up and put it in a format where I could service my audience and say, listen, this is how I was able to get to the point that I was, right? In unlocking a boss code, it means building opportunities, serving society. That's what a boss stands for me, because a boss is not somebody who just call the shots. It's about how could you build opportunities and serve society. That's what entrepreneurship is about, serving others, providing opportunities. That's all I want to do. So this book was me giving out the information and helping other people provide opportunities for their families, their friends, and their community.
Thank you. So we're going to call it a wrap today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your time, Mr. Ramel. And for those who are listening, I hope you guys are blessed and you guys took some few nuggets. And stay tuned for next week. Thank you, Mr. Ramel.
Thank you for having me, King.
But real quick, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Mogul Lifestyle _. So that's MogulLifestyle _ on Instagram. Same thing on TikTok. You can find me on YouTube, Mogul Elite Club on YouTube, or go on my website, which is mogulservices.com. Mogulservices.com. You can go on my website. You can schedule a consultation. We'll get on the phone and we'll lock in.
Oh, that's dope. Hope you guys enjoy. Thank you again, Mr. Ramel.
Thank you again for having me.